Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's topic is entitled, The Faith Walk is Based Upon Scriptural Evidence of the Character of God. And so I'm going to be reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe, or literally the ages, was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Please understand the importance of this verse. So that what is seen, that is, with the optic nerve, with the human eye, with the optical cortex, was not made out of what was visible. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death or Thanatos. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible, because anyone who comes to him must believe, they, in Greek, D-E-I, a word which means it is necessary in the nature of the case. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him out. In my introduction to this particular show, I used the word relentlessly. And here the writer used the word earnestly. He used this particular adverb, who earnestly seeks him. And then verse 7 reads, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, or through the instrumentality of faith, literally, through the instrumentality of faith. Instrumentality here means that by which something is done or accomplished. So we say instrumentality. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the seashore. So this chapter has been called a chapter of the hero of the faith. And it goes on talking about the faith actions of certain individuals. And I'm going to say faith actions because the word faith in Greek is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, P-I-S-T-I-S, and in the Greek it is a noun of action. The word for love in John 3:16 and other passages, agape, is also a noun of action. So these are very important words, very important concepts for believing ones to absorb, not merely to know intellectually, not merely to have a cerebral understanding or definition of these terms, but we are invited to become fully involved in the meaning of these terms, because these terms embrace the profound nature of this faith, or this walk, or this particular life, and that God has called us to. And so notice we're given in chapter 11, verse 1, a definition of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Another important term, hope. And hope here means confident expectation toward the future. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so the writer is not, chapter 11 is not an apologetic against empiricism. And you and I know that the world believes in empiricism. That is what can be seen, touched, felt, tasted, etc. Faith goes beyond the empirical realm and introduces us into the realm of God and this walk that we are enjoined to have. And notice, you notice in other passages, the writers talk about the walk of faith. We walk by faith. Notice the language. We walk by faith and not by sight or empiricism. God moves us out from beyond the boundaries of the experiential or the empirical. Faith moves us beyond the boundaries of ourselves. That is what we can do for ourselves, what we can know for ourselves, what we can fashion for ourselves. And faith is based upon the consistent character of God, that God has revealed himself in his work. And so it is from what we learn in his word about God that becomes the foundation of how and why we can trust him. And so we rely upon his word. We depend upon his word. The scripture, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 4 now. And listen to this very carefully. Verse 1, Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, God's rest of salvation. Salvation here is considered a rest or a cessation of those things in the past that have captured our attention or actually introduced ruin into our lives. But God offers us rest from the past, from ourselves, from our burdens, from the wages of sin, which are death. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Well, of whom is the writer speaking? Well, he's talking about those very individuals who are led out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, through the Exodus. And the name Exodus means the way out. God had shown them, given them, and provided for his people a way or the way out of bondage. And they did not, and so God led them into the wilderness. It is through the wilderness that he met their provisions. When they got to the Red Sea, they rejoiced and they saw the hand of God move on their behalf. And yet, shortly thereafter, there was the crisis of no water. And what they had seen, what they had experienced empirically at the Red Sea did not impress upon them who God was and who he and what he would do for them. Now, the judgments upon Egypt should have impressed them, and I'm sure they made an immediate impression, but what they saw and experienced of God's actions and activity did not change their hearts. These events did nothing for them. They were never able to take from the events or what God had done for them and say, I can trust him. They were never able to come to the place where they could say in their hearts collectively, if God has led me to, then he will bring me through. They never reached that type of spiritual maturity. And that's what we're talking about at this time. Notice what the writer states in Hebrews 4:3. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Remember, in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So therefore, it is very important to understand God values, what God looks at, what he considers in our lives. Are we walking by faith, or are we living by empirical means? Please read the book of Hebrews about faith. Please read also the book of James. And James talks about the practice of faith, faith action. We have a God who has performed marvelously on our part. It is incumbent, therefore, upon us that we live and we walk by faith and not by sight. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.